25 MTS. I'm your host, Jay Mazing. I'm here with a couple of old school people and new school people for this episode. We have Greg, not as bad as you.
Hello.
Finn Biweek, who's been with us for episode here and there.
How's it going?
We have Kyle Masona, who is always with us.
Hello.
And old school 25 MTS member, Agro Aaron.
Long time no see.
I know, seriously. What the hell have you been up to?
Close the house, fine work. Going out, drinking a lot.
Alcoholism. How fun. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start off this episode by talking about the new champ that just came out. So, okay, first of all, how do you pronounce it? Is it Hari? Hari is A-H-R-I.
Ari. Just call her Ori.
Ari?
Ari. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like Ariana.
Pretend like Ari lacked.
Wow, you're going to make Jamal butcher that, trying to confuse him.
Ari is not that hard. It shouldn't be that hard. So Ari, she's a new champ that came out. So her first ability is Essence Theft. She sends out an orb that deals magical damage on the way to the target, and on the way back from the target, it deals true damage. Then there is... That's not Essence Theft. That's Orb Deception. Sorry. Essence Theft is Ari gains a charge of Essence Theft whenever one of her spells hits an enemy. Upon reaching 9 charges, her next spell has 35% spell vamp. If I'm not mistaken, that is her passive. Alright, her W, because we already went over a Q, her W is Foxfire. Ari releases 3 Foxfires, which after a short delay, lock on and attack nearby enemies. Her E is Charmed. She blows a kiss that damages and charms the enemy it encounters, causing them to walk harmlessly towards her. And her ultimate is Spirit Rush. Ari dashes forward and fires Essence Bolts, damaging 3 nearby champions. Spirit Rush can be cast up to 3 times before going on cooldown. Now, has anyone had a chance to play this champion?
I have.
Yes.
Yeah, I've played it a little bit too. All right, we're going to start with Agro Aaron. Agro Aaron, what's your overall opinion of this character so far?
She's a lot of fun to play, but she seems to have like a fairly high skill cap to me, because like her ult is kind of counterintuitive of what I normally do with the caster, because it just makes you want to dive in. But you can blow people out, like you can bait amazingly well with her ult, and if you land a solid ranged taunt on somebody, like you really can't lose.
Okay. Finn, what do you think of her so far?
You know, I like her. I really like her mechanics. She's a ton of fun. But you know, she has like kind of awkward issues. Her ult, but her harass is good, but she just seems like she gets countered in lane a little awkwardly compared to most other casters, honestly.
Okay. Not as bad as you. What about you?
Oh, I think she's overpowered.
Really?
That's fair.
I've played this champion, and she is fun to play. I will agree with Agro Aaron. She's very fun to play. Her ultimate is extremely fun, because you can, like, let's say you're in the middle lane, someone's in the bush, you can dash in the bush, then dash over the wall, then dash back in the bush, and then, like, flash out, and do a bunch of damage and get away. But her damage is not super impressive.
Her damage just scales really poorly, honestly.
That's because all of her skills hit more than once, so you have to hit everything.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, even, like, I've only ever seen an Ahri, like, be relevant in the late game when she was, like, 13 and X, you know? Like, it's not even like she scales with farm, it's like she scales with, like, she has to be fed.
Yeah, that seems
like,
true.
Because her harass, her burst isn't as high as, like, a Kali. So she doesn't actually have that, like, oops, I kill you unless you're a true squishy, you know? And so, like, I don't know. I'm just not impressed with her late game. Like, except Charm is a disgusting caster ability. I actually really like her. I really like her design.
Yeah, she's
she's actually OP.
She seems like a kind of caster like Ezreal, because like she has so many skill shots, and then she has ways to, you know, get in, get out, do damage, and be really deceptive. But I don't. I would have to agree. I think her damage is really lackluster. Greg, why do you think she's OP?
Well, I actually like how she scales in the late game. Maybe the numbers aren't what scale well on her, but what happens late game is whenever Charm is up, it's basically like a late game Blitzcrank hook, where if she hits it on the correct target, that target is just instantly dead because they get pulled out from underneath the tower or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, even though she doesn't have the Akali burst, her burst is high enough that if she's fireballing in on a Tristana, she will kill whatever like AP carry or like whatever AD carry she goes in on. So she like can play both roles late game. Granted, like maybe not her poke isn't as good as Morgana or Lux, and maybe her her burst isn't as good as Akali or Talon. But she can do both fairly well, and in lane, she's kind of got the sort of lane phase equivalent to Zillion, Brand, Morgana, those champions who can just AoE down creep waves and not actually have to fight. They don't have to worry about winning the lane, because they can just like free farm the lane. So, and the big thing to me is I played her in a bot game just to kind of get a feel for her, and at level 5, none of her abilities cost more than 100 mana.
Yeah, she has incredibly cheap mana cost, which means she doesn't actually have to build Rod of Ages, which means you can build, like, Death Cap and, like, straight AP.
That's true. Kyle, have you got a chance to play her?
Nope.
Okay. But, yeah, Finhack, do you usually go, what build do you go with? Do you go, like, the Ring Death Cap build, or?
I go Death Cap, or, you know, I mean, sometimes I go DFG. I saw it on a couple streams when she first came out. And, you know, it's a good item on her. Like, it's good on Fizz, too. It's just kind of a troll item, you know? But, I mean, just, like, straight AP. Every time I build Rod of Ages, I regret it. So, I don't know.
What about you, Aaron? What were you about to say?
Ring Cap, Rylai's.
Greg? Same build, you think?
Like, 2-3 Dorns. Like, the Reginald AP build where he goes 2-3 Dorns, Rings, Sork Pen Boots, Death Cap, Void Staff, and you never actually build a 6 item.
Do you think that she has... Who do you think she has a great matchup as? Because the only... I've played her a couple of times, and as I said, I wasn't too impressed with her damage. I thought she was fun to play. I did do fairly well with her the first time that I played her. But when I played against her as Malzahar and Karthus, and I beat her both times in lane with either one of those characters. Who would you say she has a really good matchup with? Let's go ahead and start with you, Greg.
Like I said, it's not that she necessarily can kill people in lane or out-damages anyone. You can just farm the lane safely. I think your laning phase is actually equivalent to someone like Morgana. And, Morgana into Kassadin, because when she hits level 6, it's really hard to gank her. But she also has the sustain from her passive. So, I would compare, like, I don't know who that is necessarily good against every time.
She's really good against people that can't push.
What?
She's good against people that can't push the wave.
If they can't put pressure on her in lane, she's, like, disgusting.
Right. So anyone who struggles with pushing, like LeBlanc or Cavs or Ryze, yeah, she really does well against those champions. And any like melee champion who may want to send mid because of how long her poke is with her Q.
How relevant is her spell vamp ability? Because I've seen people try to build her, trying to max her spell vamp by going Russian Will of the Ancients and then Rushing Will of the Ancients, then going into like a Void Staff, and then immediately going into Death Cap afterwards. But just trying to get as much spell vamp on her early as possible to kind of give her that survivability. So I don't know if that's a good build or not, but how relevant is her spell vamp ability? Aggrarian, what do you think?
It didn't seem all that relevant to me. I mean, like, as long as you're just staying, if you're not trying to go toe to toe with anyone, then it'll keep you in the lane. But, like, in the middle of a fight, what is it, like every 8th ability or something?
Ninth ability gets 5% spell vamp. It's just like a pure sustainability.
Yeah, and it's there so you can keep farming a lane.
It's not every 9th ability. I believe it's every 9th target hit by an ability.
Yeah, target hit. So each one can charge it like 3 times or something like that.
Yeah, her Q can get 6 charges if you hit away a creep wave with it.
Okay.
But it's like, it's, yeah. So if you hit a creep wave, yeah. No, it's only 1.
Wait, so you're saying, wait, let me look at the exact skill, because I think it's every 9 spells, but let me look at the passive one more time. The passive says, Ahri gains the charge of Essence Thief whenever one of her spells hits an enemy. 3 charges per spell is the max. So upon reaching 9 charges.
You get 3 from a spell.
Yeah. So 3 charges per spell, and then when she reaches 9 charges, she gets the 35% spell vamp. If they were to... Do you think this character needs any type of buffs, or you think she's already strong enough?
She's pretty fucking strong. No, she's pretty strong already.
I don't think she needs... Yeah, I don't think she needs buffs at all now.
Do you think she needs a nerf, possibly?
It's possible she needs a nerf.
Maybe, but I just haven't seen a good one.
She's a really high skill cap character. She's not going to face roll as hard as some other champions. I think what she needs is just a little bit of a rework where her abilities cost a little bit more mana and maybe have slightly longer cooldowns and they, you know, up the damage. So you're not in this situation where you have to, like, just keep spamming abilities and hit everyone with every single ability. Give her some, like, I don't know. It's kind of unique to her, though. Like, really, really just bad if casting abilities and never run out of mana.
Okay. Aaron, what were you about to say?
I said it feels really, really bad if you miss a Q. Like he was saying, like, you have to hit those abilities.
Okay, this question goes to all you guys. What type of team comp do you think she would be best on from your limited play with her? We'll go ahead and start with Finn.
Anything that can really abuse Charm, because that ability is sick.
That's true.
So, Blitzcrank Singed?
I mean, like, anything like that, honestly. Like, that ability, I just really like how that ability works. It's been, like, just like, no, just anything where you can burst them when you pull them, because she can't necessarily burst that hard, so if your top lane is bursty, or your bot lane is, like, quirky or something like that, where as soon as you catch someone, you know you can kill them, or you just have good CC, you know? That would, like, really, like, bring out her ability to kite, because you'd be in a 4v5 where they couldn't focus her when her ult was going.
I'm thinking of more of a hard stun ability to go with her, like a Taric or a Sion, Alkai, or a Campion. Something that when they get hit with Charm, like, you chain the CC and they're instantly dead, right?
Yeah, I played... The last game I played with her, I had a Rammus on my team, so we just double taunt everyone. It was kind of ridiculous.
Does.
But I think she's really good on poke comps and move speed comps.
Okay. So, all right, guys, last question, and we've been doing this with all the new champions. OP or not OP? We'll go ahead and start with Aaron. OP or not OP?
She's definitely closer to OP.
Okay. Finn, OP or not OP?
OP.
Greg, OP or not OP?
Well, OP.
All right. Kyle, OP or not OP?
I have not played as her or against her, oddly. So,
really?
Yeah. Usually, I've actually been playing since she came out.
Usually with new champions, you can't help but to see them in game. It's kind of ridiculous.
But people don't play Ahri on TT?
That's true.
I'm going to actually go with not OP. Like, I think what Greg was saying with being that she's not a face roll champion, and I haven't seen anyone just really dominate with her. I've seen maybe 2 good Ahris in game where... Basically, they were doing their skills and they were doing okay damage, but when they did their ultimates, when they're really cleaned up, they would come in near the end of a fight and kind of do like an Akali-like thing where it's like, okay, it's time to clean up. Like, my team has done a bunch of damage, a bunch of people are running, I can chase this person down, you know, charm them, bam, hit them with my spell, they're dead, go over to this person, use my ultimate, clean up those 2 kills, and then kind of get back to safety. But I'm still going to say not OP. Alright, so... On to the next subject that we're going to go over. So there was a recent tournament. It was a recent tournament not too long ago. It was WCG, and the winner of the WCG was Chicks Dig Elo. Does anyone have the exact team comp of that? Because it was a mixture of pretty much 2 big teams in current U.S. play.
It was Divers top, Reggie mid, Chouster, and Xspecial and bot, and then St. Vicious in the jungle.
Okay, and the other teams that people might recognize, people who have been keeping up with competitive play, there was Team Digitas, who was pretty much just usual Team Digitas team, and then there was Team Canada, and Team Canada, if I'm not mistaken, was pretty much CLG plus the odd one.
It's the Canadian members
and Chaox.
Okay, so it was So it was CLG plus plus the odd one and Chaox.
Yeah, but minus Chouster and who else? Why am I drawing a blank? St. Vicious.
Okay. So, watching the tournament, was there any like huge surprises in regards to who won? Was there any match in particular that you saw extremely exciting, and what was your favorite moment of the tournament? Well, go ahead and start with Finn.
You know, I didn't catch that much of it, honestly, but, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't have a particularly exciting part. I didn't catch that much because I wasn't actually here. I had finals and shit.
Okay, understood. Aaron, what about yourself? I know you keep up with finals. I mean, keep up with tournaments pretty hardcore.
Well, it wasn't exactly surprising that CDE won it, just because of all the drama that went down before WCG, it just seemed like they had to win it. And I don't, but WCG did a terrible job of broadcasting it. So I mean, I have seen like a couple games on YouTube, and like I think I watched like a couple, but like CDE just face-rolled everybody but Dignitas. So it wasn't exactly a great tournament to watch. Like the finals were absolutely boring to watch. CDE just
yeah, I heard that it got worse as it went on. Like the games got less close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
That's pretty rough. Greg, did you get a chance to see any matches, or is there any particular match that particularly caught your eye or excited you?
I did get to see a lot of it. Again, the stream quality was really poor. It just didn't look good at all. It wasn't. They went through OWN TV, but they didn't go through Riot. Whereas last year, I do think they went through Riot, because I think I recall last year it did look pretty good.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't have spectator mode ready or anything like that, it looked fairly good. This year it looked like a really bad stream. And my favorite match was Poland beating Canada. Because all of those games were close.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Hotshot and those weird Canadians lost to the Poland. So that was like really surprising, and you know, I thought that was sort of the cool, like, you know, upset of the tournament. And you know, they played credit to Poland, they played like very well. But I really think they kind of like they really overachieved, and it really showed when they played CDE.
Hmm. Kyle, did you get a chance to catch any of the WCG finals?
I watched a little of the last match, but it, like you guys said, it was really uninteresting, so I went back to Minecraft.
See, and that's kind of one thing from a big event like WCG, like that's something that they should be hyping up a lot. Like League of Legends is growing extremely fast. You have tons of people who are playing this game, tons of new people who are playing this game every day. You have some of the Dota people coming over, some of the people who were stubborn and playing Han starting to now play League of Legends. And the way you're going to build your community, the way you're going to get your competitive community going, is to have these high-level streams, to have these big matches shown where the best of the best are playing each other. And for the only, like, I caught one or two matches live, but for the most part, the only match that I can catch that was on the stream was, I want to say, France versus Spain. Like, I caught France versus Spain, and then also I caught, I want to say CLG. I think I saw the CLG versus Poland, but I found it in a Korean shoutcast.
Oh, yeah, that was hella funny.
Yeah, the Korean announcers are definitely hilarious. I mean, they not hilarious like they're to be made fun of, but they're pretty interesting because they get so excited about the game, and that's like something that the American announcers don't seem to do exactly. That seems to, we say that kind of goes over from StarCraft, or do they just have a bigger respect for esports?
Probably bigger respect for esports.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, they're the same thing, right?
Kinda. They're kind of the same thing. Like, when I'm watching the Koreans, it's like, I don't understand what they're saying, and the next thing I know is, Kinnon! 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 Oh, it's cheating! Like,
so I think it's it's probably more of a cultural thing. You watch football or soccer, and you know, people just get up and cheer when stuff happens. Our culture as Americans is like baseball, football. Theirs is esports.
Yeah. I know as far as broadcasting WCG went, though, like WCG is practically bankrupt, and they didn't allow anybody but Panasonic to dump any money into their games. So, like, Riot wanted to put make it a bigger prize pool, but weren't allowed to.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, so, like, this might be WCG's last year.
Right.
So, who picks up the reins from them? If let's say WCG does go under. So, there's been a lot of what have been the bigger tournaments?
I expect a lot out of MLG next year. Yeah, just because, like, I've always been an MLG fanboy in the first place. You know, I've played Halo for many, many, many years, so I've always watched MLG. And from the stuff that Sundance has been talking about over the last couple months, it sounds like everything they're doing for MLG is going to be huge next year. Plus, they're going to add more events. It sounded like they were adding at least 4 more events, so it should be a good scene.
What do you think that the esports community can do to kind of show that, you know, hey, this game can make money, you can get viewers if you advertise it correctly, if you put the right amount of money into it, if you, you know, show the fans what they want to see? Because I know there's a lot of people who play League of Legends and a lot of people who are watching League of Legends and a lot of people who are getting into esports. So what can we as a community do to, like, hype up our own game or to get the right people behind it, or who is the right people to get behind it? Finn, what do you think?
You know, I mean, I really think that just getting, like, more of a professional community from other games, you know, like, other names recognized by people would be a big step forward. But, I mean, I think they're doing the right things, you know? Like, they're doing bigger tournaments. I mean, more prize money would always be nice, but, like, I don't know how realistic that is. But, yeah, I mean, just, like, other people from a professional community would be interesting.
Kyle, what do you think? I know you're big into esports and the growing of esports. What do you think that we as a community could do?
Just keep watching. Like, it's popular in Korea because people do it. People in Korea know people in Korea watch esports. Here, it's still, like, if you're into esports, you know people watch esports. If you're not into esports, you don't know what esports are.
What about you, Aaron? What do you think?
Well, pretty much along the lines of what Kyle was saying. Like, the more, you know, people watch esports, the more normalized it gets. Then it'll just be like water cooler talk one day, and then that's how you grow something.
Well, okay. So, basically you guys are saying the best way that we can help this community is to keep watching and support people who we like. Do you think there will ever be a time where esports will actually be televised and be on national television? Or on national television in a larger way?
Like, it already kind of has. I mean, there was a point where Halo was, MLG Halo was shown on USA, and, you know, like, what's it called? ESPN had Mad Nation for a while. So, I mean, it's kind of found some soft spots to get in, but it really still hasn't found its niche yet.
Right, and I would say, like, TV is not what is going to propel esports to the next level. Like, almost everyone I know who watches any amount of television, and this might have to do with the fact that I am, you know, a fairly big nerd, that everyone watches their TV through Hulu. Hulu or, like, YouTube or own TV or live streams. That's how they get their visual entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think... I think going to television would actually be a step in the wrong direction for esports. But I could see why that might be... it would give it a lot more mainstream play, but that's not who's going to find it interesting in the first place. Like you're not going to draw people just by the fact that it's on TV.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it's... I guess we have to keep supporting it. We want to keep supporting it. We want it to get bigger. But the only way it's going to get bigger is if we as a community help it out. So let's see. Besides that, no, Aaron, you said something before. You said something before the show about Jat retiring. What's this about? What's going on?
Jat said he's leaving. What's her name? Dignitas, and just focusing on real life commitments.
As I said, he wants to do like IRL shit instead.
Oh man, there's an opening in Dignitas now.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. It was me and Fresho, dude.
Well, they need a jungler.
So, wait a minute. Do you think this is because of just the community feedback about what happened?
I don't think this has to do with Scumbag Jet now.
Well, that's sad. Well, I mean, he was definitely a good jungler for them. So, you know, we send our regards out. We are sorry to hear that, you know, that he is retiring. Now, there's a new champion coming out, and Aggron just showed me the link. So I guess right now, if you are watching the stream live, if you go to profile, you click on profile, you go to champions, and you go down to Victor, he is already in the thing. So let me read off his abilities.
But you can't actually unlock him. I just tried.
Yeah, so you can unlock him, but he does have his abilities up there. So let's go there. Okay, so it says that his passive is called Evolving Technology. So anyway, he's Victor. He's the guy that made Blitzcrank, and he's like angry about
retcon.
Something.
Retcon.
Huh?
Retcon.
What do you mean retcon?
Retcon.
What's retcon? Is that his last name?
No, it's where they change the history of the lore to suit current or arising needs.
Oh.
Hell of annoying, honestly.
Retcon, okay. So Victor was the guy who made Blitzcrank. And let's see, his passive is, Victor starts with a hex core that provides him with a stat and can be upgraded in the store to augment one of his abilities. The hex core can only be upgraded once and cannot be sold back to the store. What the hell does that mean? Anybody
just have an item slot taken up by a useless piece of crap.
Does it actually take up an item slot?
Yeah,
it
takes up an item slot. That's
ridiculous. Seriously?
You cannot buy wards.
So it says he starts with a hex core and it provides him with stats and can be upgraded. So it's like if you want him to be a tank this game, you make him tanky. Like, that is really odd. I don't even understand what they mean by that.
Yeah, if you go to recommended items, it shows the his passive in one of the item slots. It's ridiculous.
Let's go to recommended items. So tips, items, recommended items. Where's it at? Oh yeah, here it goes. So augmented def, +3 ability power per level, +45 ability power tops. A def ray sets fire to enemies and deals 30% additional damage. So I guess you get an item that changes in spell. Really odd. Okay, but anyway, that's his passive. His Q is power transfer. So Victor blasts an enemy unit, dealing magic damage, returning a portion of the damage dealt as a shield. His W is gravity field. Victor conjures a heavy gravitational field that slows any target in its radius. If enemies stay too long within the radius of the device, it gets stunned. Seems kind of cool. His E is death ray. Victor uses his robotic arm to fire a chaos beam that cuts across the field in a line, dealing damage to any opponent struck in its path.
That thing works like a rumble ult, too.
Oh, really? Nice. And his ultimate is Chaos Storm. Victor conjures a singularity on the field, which deals magic damage and briefly silences enemies. The singularity then does magic damage to all nearby enemies every second. Victor can redirect the singularity. We're going to start with Aggro, Aaron. What do you? So just hearing the abilities, I mean, we don't have any stats and so forth yet. What do you think?
I have no clue. It all depends on how, I guess, expensive his passive is. Like, how much it costs to upgrade and get a new ability. I don't know. I'm pretty clueless. This champ is way different than anything I've seen, really. Like, using his ult seems like it's kind of tricky because moving it around, like, I'm watching the video of it, moving it around doesn't exactly seem intuitive.
What do you think, Finn?
He seems interesting. I mean, I don't like the fact that he doesn't have an item slot. I've thought about a champion with a passive that's an item before. They start with an item, and, like, that seemed like a tricky problem, and I, like, don't like that solution to it. I mean, his abilities sound kind of cool, and I like that they are making more champions that have a lot of room to, like, make choices. Like, Fizz, Ahri, and then this champion all have, like, a lot of different abilities, and I think it's cool that they're making more complex heroes.
Okay. Greg, what about you? What do you think?
I just hope you can sell the item back.
You can't. It can be upgraded once.
Just sell it. Just start with the item and just sell it and start with an extra like 200 gold or something.
I'd hope more. I mean, it's massive.
I just sold my passive for 200 gold. Selling your soul for $5 to the devil, huh?
It depends, man. If you need it, you need it, right? I don't know. Kyle, what about you? From a design standpoint, what do you think of this champion?
I think if you can go to lane with 5 extra health pots, that would be amazing.
Just hella extra gold for no reason.
Sell your passive. The abilities, they seem weird. Kind of disjointed. I mean, from reading the character bio they released, I think that's kind of the point. He seems like a really strange character.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could be cool. He seems very kind of chaotic, hard to predict when playing against him, which lends itself to possible OP-ness, but at the same time can make some really fun play choices.
Yeah, my first impression just looking at him and reading the abilities, he seems very Dr. Doom-ish. Like, just someone who's kind of a comic book nerd, like, looking at this guy, looking at his crazy helm and his random-ass arm that's on his shoulder, like, he seems very Dr. Doom-like. And when you look at the tips and items, it looks like you build them just like a tanky caster. They have, for items, Rallies, Death Cap, Rod of Ages, Ring, Sork Boots, just your typical caster build. And the Dominion, the same thing. And, I mean, he has an ability called Death Ray, so, I mean, that can't be bad.
Plus, it's like, you can shoot it on the move, so you're, like, running and shoot out this Death Ray, which is pretty dope.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, once again, if you are watching the stream live, you can go ahead and look at the character. You just go to the screen where all the characters are at, go down to Victor, and he is in the system. However, you cannot unlock him. His skins look interesting. He has one where he's his green machine, full machine. It doesn't, I don't know. I don't think I like that one. Looks like a gay cyborg or something like that. I don't know what's going on with that. But his prototype Victor looks kind of dope. Has the crazy wild hair, extra gloves, red and black. Looks kind of like M. Bison.
Oh, have you seen the new Pantheon skin?
I have not seen the new Pantheon skin.
Intergalactic Pantheon?
What?
It's from Warhammer 40K
or something?
What?
Like a Beastie Boy?
No, he like just looks insane. He just has like he looks like he's from Warhammer 40K.
Where'd you find the skin? Because it's not in the game.
Like, Google Pantheon and then look for the splash art you've never seen before. Like I just Google imaged it because like I don't know, I didn't know where to look for it.
So the way Victor's passive works, it seems like he might be like incredibly difficult to counterpick, just because he can completely switch up what he's doing.
Really, that's nuts. I mean, and like to start off with a passive, or to start off with an item, basically, it seems really weird. It seems really interesting. But I just got contacted by Root. We're going to go ahead and call him in real quick. Give me 1 second. Let's go ahead and add him to the call.
Yeah, like I said, I think everything about him lends the character to unpredictability. Oh, it's late.
Yeah. Unpredictability. Actually, it says
you
I
like
can't.
The dicks, don't you, Jamal?
What? Why are you gonna make everything gay for? Huh? Why
you
gonna
make everything gay? 3 times.
That Pantheon skin's kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Have you seen the Viger skin?
Actually, let's go into the skins before we go into the Viger skin. Let's go into the new holiday skins. So, for this holiday season, they came out with a bunch of new skins. Last holiday season, if I'm not mistaken, it was what? It was Regift to Moo Moo. What were the other skins? Candy Cane Misfortune.
There was Nidalee. No.
Santa Gragas.
That was before.
Yeah, there was Santa Gragas. Candy Cane Misfortune. Regift to Moo Moo. And then there was another one.
Was Nidalee last year?
Yeah, Snow Bunny Nidalee.
Snow Bunny Nidalee.
That was the Olympics.
Was that Winter Olympics?
Yeah.
That wasn't last year.
Yeah, because that's Hotshot's skin.
Yeah, true. Well, so they came out with some interesting skins this year. One skin they came out with, which everyone saw coming, was Christmas. Well, they have Christmas Tree Maokai this year.
Which is cool.
They have Snowman Heimerdinger. And what's the third one?
Well, there's Mistletoe LeBlanc.
Mm-hmm.
No, for this year.
Yeah,
Mistletoe LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah, Mistletoe LeBlanc. Okay.
And then Toy Soldier Gangplank. Swear to God, that skin's insane. That skin is legit disgustingly good.
Okay, so we'll start with you, Finn. What's your favorite one out of the new skins for the holiday season?
Oh, it's Heimer, not close. That hero is, like, my favorite.
You sound like you're going to say something after that.
He puts down sleds now, which is, like, pretty OP. Like, sleds are pretty OP. And he's just, like, looks insane and has a monocle.
Well, okay. Greg, what
about... Best of every world.
Greg, what about you? What do you think? What's your favorite skin this season?
So I saw that for at least some period of time, Sona's Christmas skin went back on sale.
Mm-hmm.
For $18.20.
Wow.
$18.20? What the... Jesus.
Well, that's because it's not supposed to be on sale.
Oh.
I'm really weirded out by that.
Glad I have that.
No, my favorite skin is Christmas Tree LeBlanc. I like made several
Christmas Tree forum LeBlanc
posts about it.
Wait, you mean Mistletoe LeBlanc or Christmas Tree Maokai? Oh, okay. You said Christmas Tree LeBlanc. I didn't know that was a, that would be an interesting skin. She dresses up as a tree, hops around the map, and plants herself in different places.
Yeah, Maokai. Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, what about you? What's your favorite one?
I gotta agree with Greg there. That festive Christmas Tree Maokai is sweet. Tossing little Christmas presents around.
Yeah, yeah. I had to get Maokai to get that skin.
No, that's what you bought a champ just so you could get it.
I had the IP because they refunded Dodgers. I had like 20,000 IP.
They gave back like an insane amount of IP for refunding the Dodge stuff.
Well, because they refunded. Well, I had the Quince too.
Yeah, but I felt like I got back like 8k IP for that.
Hmm. Yeah, that's how much
you just had one set.
All I had was yellows. And that cost, what, like 6,300, right? Or something really close to 6,000 IP?
900 times 9? 8,000?
8 times 9, it's about a million.
Oh, math. The eternal mystery.
Not really.
But,
it's the eternal mystery?
But, before we go too far, so I was actually going to say Christmas Tree Maokai as well. That skin is pretty freaking dope. I have yet to get it. I'm going to get it on payday because I want to get it before it runs out. I made the mistake of like, oh, I'll just wait to get, what was it, the holiday skin. I went to get the Ghost Nocturne after the remake, and I waited too long. But I'm not going to wait too long for this one. I have Christmas Tree Maokai, and I have Regifted Moomoo. So,
that,
you know,
tacky Christmas present.
He was not a tacky. He was re-gifted.
Maokai like, just is like makes little moomoos now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
He's just strictly better than a moomoo will ever be now.
He just throws out a moomoos and they run and cry and blow up. That would be awesome. That would be entirely awesome.
That would be really sweet if they gave him tears.
Just wham, and then blows up. But oh man, so is there anything else that anyone wants to talk about?
New runes, maybe?
New runes?
Oh, yeah, the new runes. So, for those who have been keeping up, there have been... So, we kind of mentioned earlier that Dodge runes are being refunded. And the reason that Dodge runes are being refunded is because they are officially taking Dodge out of the game. So, what that means is that, for one, they're going to have to do a complete remake on Jax, because he is one of the few characters that has Dodge affect one of his abilities. They affect two of his abilities. They are going to refund Dodge runes, and because they are refunding Dodge runes, that means a lot of people are going to have a little bit of extra IP. And then there are the new runes. So let me go ahead and go to the store and tell you which new runes are out. All right, so let's go to unlock these runes, new runes. So the way you can get to the guys, once again, if you are watching it live, you can go to the store, click browse the store, go to runes, and go to unlock these runes, and they will show you which ones are the newer ones. All right, so let's go ahead and start from the top. So new marks. So the new marks they have are... Where are they at? Where are they at?
It's MR marks, and then they have the split armor pin and magic.
Okay, yeah, I see them. There we go. So it's for each mark, they're 820 to unlock. It's plus 1.0 and plus 0.57 to magic pin. So plus 1.0 to armor penetration, and then plus 0.57 to magic pin per mark. And you can buy 9 of those marks. We'll go one by one. What are you guys over with? Do you think this is actually a relevant rune? Do you think people are going to use them? Who do you think they're good on? Or will people just ignore them? We'll go ahead and start with you, Greg.
Finn messaged me and was like, oh, the new runes are really good. And my first question was, who are they good on? So... with that, Finn.
Oh, Mordekaiser. Obviously, question mark. I mean, like, I don't know what else you expected, but me and Malcolm have been playing some LOL today, and I had been playing some Mordekaiser, and he was playing Mordekaiser because I just wanted to get them. So basically, it turns out that if you have the Quints and the Marks, they give you the exact same as having the two sets of Marks. So they give you 15 armor pin and 8.5 magic pin, which I think is really cool because it's like just barely a little more efficient. And then like I used him on Mordekaiser and like he last hit well, and then he like, you know, his abilities did damage, so it was like cool there. But like I couldn't really see it on more characters than like Mordekaiser and Poppy and like Kale, like the true like janky hybrids.
What do you think, Aaron, about those Marks?
Yeah, pretty much what Finn said, because
like,
you're not going to use them on any relevant champion.
What about somebody like Fizz or another hybrid character like... Well, that's the thing. Okay, so I
can't use him on Akali.
Why is that?
Why?
She needs the 80, the flat 80.
Right, and she needs their AP points.
Okay. Well, but what about a Fizz? Someone who wants to auto-attack for a little bit of damage, but also wants the magic pen for his overall abilities.
The problem
is scale up the armor pen though, because none of your abilities give you additional attack damage.
Mm-hmm.
So armor pen is almost strictly worse than attack damage because you're not getting any more attack damage on your abilities. However, if you're going, I was thinking maybe someone like 80 Nidalee top lane may want them because she does scale well off of ability power like damage. But she would also appreciate the armor pen early game to really, like, you know, boss around top lane.
Okay. So let's go to glyphs now. So were there any new glyphs put out there? Let's see.
Gold, yellow.
Oh, wait, well, that's...
Yeah, the gold, yellow.
Well, we'll skip past glyphs. We'll go to yellow. So there is gold, yellow. So the gold, yellows are 0.25 gold every 10 seconds. They cost 410. So, Greg, gold, yellows. You seem a little excited about this. Do you think they're actually relevant?
Yeah, you have to take them on supports, because if you don't, the other support will, and then you're going to be down that much gold. So that's kind of been, or at least my feelings on how the gold thing works, is if the other support has more gold coming in than you, then you're probably not going to be as relevant as they are going to be later on into the game, and even earlier in the game.
Okay. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, they're definitely solid. Although, do you really need to run 9? Would you just run 8 and like one random rune or something else?
What is that random rune?
Mana regen.
Yeah, like
dude.
Possibly a mana regen. I guess dodge is gone. That would be hilarious. You just
just get that 0.75 on him.
Dodge proc. Wait a minute. No.
Nimbleness.
Just for the blowout. Okay. Would you run the 0.25 gold on anybody else outside of support?
God, no. No.
Yes.
It's like, who were you going to run those on?
Like, Roman Poppy? I mean, I'm...
Okay. If you're playing Blitzstar or something, sure.
Yeah, like, roaming Blitz. Like, roaming characters never had good seals before because, like, armor was only relevant in lane. And Imar is only good scaling late game, so like they needed something to roam with, and I think it's good for that.
Okay. So if you decide to try to bring the roaming metagame back,
right.
There you go, that could work. And then we're going to go to the Quint. So there's a couple of interesting ones in Quint. There is the hybrid Quint, which is 2.0 armor pin and 1.13 magic penetration. There is the +2 to spell vamp Quint and the +2 to lifesteal Quint. So we'll start with the hybrid penetration Quint. So I'm guessing it kind of the same thing, Finn, wouldn't you say? If you're going to run the marks in it, you want to run the Quint as well?
Yeah, I think it's probably necessary. I mean, just cause, like, if you want to go janky, like, you have to go all the way, you know? You have to, like, totally commit. I think it's probably necessary.
So, I mean, if you're going to gimmick them hard?
Yeah, like, if you're going to take Smite on Blitzcrank and hook them when you smite a creep that was in the way before, like... You just got to do it right the first time.
Okay. Aaron, Greg, I'm guessing the same.
Yeah, I think if you're going to play, use the marks, you have to use the Quints. Otherwise, they're actually just worthless.
Now, there's also the... So it's called the Greater Quintessence of Vampirism, the +2% to lifesteal. So,
yeah, it's a Vladimir Quint.
Okay, who else would you run that on? Does this?
No, you don't run that one on Vladimir.
Oh, you don't? Only because he's a vampire?
Well, yeah. Like,
no, he's actually Emomancer.
Well, so I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the Quint, the +2% to lifesteal. And would you possibly want to run that on junglers who don't have a sustained jungle? And this would be
God, no, the jungle's so easy.
Everybody Wait, has a sustained jungle now.
I literally sustain with every character right now.
What if you want to go jungle Ezreal and you need the lifesteal?
Dude, you don't
like jungle Ezreal's like tier 1.
Literally a tier 1 jungler.
So,
dude, I've been playing jungle Renekton, and that's actually viable now.
I know. I've been jungling Gragas.
So
I only jungle Pantheon.
So, okay. Serious question. Is there no one who you want to run the lifesteal on?
Yee, maybe. I kind of want to run it on Graves top lane, because you can just build all lifesteal and have, like, cleanse, and then it's filthy.
Yeah, I think it'd work best on AD carries, because it's sustained. They don't have sustained.
Yeah, and it gives you +6% to lifesteal if you get all three of them. Now, the +2% to spell vamp, that one's actually really interesting.
You know what's more often you'd be pushing the lane if you're running lifesteal, Quince? Because you have to auto-attack for your runes to actually do something for you.
Dude, I'm just saying that, like, people used to buy Doran's Blade and, like, push the lane with 3% lifesteal, like, justifying it with 3% lifesteal.
That is true. Very true.
I still do that.
Yes. Greg is the champion of the Doran's Blade.
The only, what is it, 6 Doran's Blade Pantheon I've ever seen.
No, 5.
Just, what's your build, Greg? Boots, Doran's Blade, Doran's Blade, Doran's Blade, Doran's Blade. Go back, sell Doran's Blade, get Doran's Ring.
You know, that's hilarious. I saw Mark go 6 Doran shields on Volibear yesterday and still his raving face.
Actually,
that's probably nice. Just correct.
Yeah, but it actually doesn't sound that bad. This hella blade, this hella shields. But so spell vamp. There's characters in the game who have natural spell vamp, like a Morgana. Would you possibly think of running spell vamp Quince on her to even further it?
No, because spell vamp's not a good stat on her.
Because she has
a late game stat on her.
Yeah,
really good late game.
Yeah, and like, if you want late, I guess like for late game Quince, like flat AP isn't insane. Actually, it is, but like. Yeah, I don't know. Like, how can you justify not running flat AP on a caster?
What, in your Quince?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it depends.
Like, move speed. Like, what other options do you have?
There's tons. And the Quince that I use is double magic pin. I mean, I actually use either magic penetration, because magic penetration is 1.89. I happen to like that on some casters. Flat
Which
ability
casters?
Power?
You should run the numbers. Flat AP Quince are probably better for you.
The magic penetration?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like it on Karthus. I like it a lot on Malzahar. I like running double magic pen, double mana regen on Malzahar.
Two characters with really high AP conversion ratios. You should
Absolutely.
Switch those to AP.
There was a featured guide on solo mid that had magic pen everything on Mordekaiser except for yellows.
Well, Mordekaiser's abilities don't scale that well with ability power.
It was a feature.
Like, the numbers aren't good, but if you have magic pen, it's really good.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, to go back to it, there is no character you would say that you would want to run the spell vamp Quince on?
I thought I would try it out on maybe Rumble, because he's the only champion I thought I might want to try that out on. So I could still go 21 in offense and maybe get sustained without having to build a revolver.
Seems interesting. So,
yeah, it's probably awful. But,
that sounds kind of disgusting, actually. Your early game fight, I mean...
6% spell vamp.
It's gonna get you an extra like 50-ish health.
Okay, so we'll approach the new Quints like we do champions. So we'll go ahead and start from the top. Aaron, new Quints, OP or not OP?
Not OP. Yeah, that sucks.
Oh, are we missing the health percentage Quints too?
Yeah,
those are actually interesting.
I'm looking at the store. I actually don't see them. Where are they at?
Underneath quintessences.
Okay. Hey everyone, this is Jay Mazing from 25MTS. We do apologize for the last part of the show. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties in regard to the episode. So, We cannot find the last part of the show. However, if you would like to listen to the live broadcasting of the show, you can go ahead and visit the own TV page. That's 25 MINSTOSURENDER. Just go ahead and search that on own TV. That's OWN3D.TV. And you can hear the entire episode as it was broadcasted live. 25MTS would like to wish everyone out there a happy holidays. And remember, the answer to all your questions in League of Legends is carry harder. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.